Hello, and welcome to the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us. Today's message is here to help you preach the good news everywhere in your day-to-day life. Here at Covenant Fellowship, we accomplish this by encountering God, loving people, and serving others with everything we've got. Now let's dive in.
Over the last few weeks, the Lord's been dealing with me about Genesis 18. I shared this. Brother Paul asked me to do the devotion at the men's breakfast the other morning, and the Lord told me to do this, and I had no intention of doing this morning, but in this setting and in this atmosphere, what we are doing in this place this morning is in a spiritual setting what Abraham did with God. Genesis 18, in the first verse, it tells us that the Lord appeared to Abram by the Terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. What this is saying is Abraham is basically doing in the heat of the day, he's doing life. He's sitting at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, which is actually, he's demonstrating the covenant of the threshold, which I don't have time to get into this morning. But he's the patriarch of this whole group over this whole territory. And there he sits at the door, and he looks up. And as he looks up, he sees three men walking down the road. Something begins to stir in Abraham's heart when he sees the three men walking down the road. Because you see, Abraham's already had an encounter with God once. He's already had moments with God and times of intercession with God. He's already been in the presence of the Lord. And one was from this time, 24 years earlier, when God speaks to him and lets him know, you're going to be the father of many nations. How am I going to be the father of many nations? See, I go childless. I don't have any children. My whole inheritance is going to go to one by the name of Eleazar. Nope, it's not going to go to Eleazar, but there's going to be one that comes from your loins and through Sarah. It's going to be the son of promise. And now he's waited 24 years. And maybe in this time of waiting for 24 years, maybe Abram has come to a place of wondering, have I been forsaken? Have I been forgotten? My body is not functioning anymore the way it should to be able to produce children, and Sarah's body is no longer functioning the way it should to produce children. And I know God said it, but have I been forsaken? Is there something in me that's going on? And but yet we find Abram sitting at the door of his tent, and as he sits at the door of his tent, three men, he sees them walking by. They're not close. They're probably on a road that goes through the area, but from the door of his tent, he's watching out. He's overseeing the whole area, and he sees these three travelers coming by, and there's a connection with what he feels. There's a connection with him coming by, and he gets up and he does something that for that culture absolutely never would have been done. He left the door to his tent unguarded. He sensed something so strong, a presence so strong, that he left the door unguarded. Normally this would have been someone where he would have called a servant and said, hey, go see if they want some water. Go see if they want something else. But Abraham desired the presence of God. He desired to spend time with God. So he himself got up and he ran to these men. And when he got there, he realized that one of them was God. And he says, don't pass me by. Have you ever been to a place you just didn't want God to pass you by? Have you ever been to a place where, God, it's good to see you. I know you got a journey. I know you're on your way. But listen, will you please, I need you. Will you just spend a little bit of time with me? And he says, listen, will you just come and stay for a little while with me at my house? He says, come and let me get you a little bit of water. Let me get you a morsel of bread. Let me wash your feet as you're on your journey. And God decides to come to his house. And they tell him, go do what you're talking about doing. And this, everything begins to change at this moment. God comes and is there at his house. And he makes sure they have a place to sit and they're all comfortable. And he remembers, oh, I offered them water and bread. Let me go get them some water and bread. And he's 99 years old and he runs. So there's something that comes over him in this presence of God. And he runs into the kitchen and he tells Sarah, make three loaves of bread. Make plenty of bread for these guys. And then he runs to another servant and says, and get the best of the milk and get the best of the butter. And then he runs out to one of the herdsmen and he says, take one of the best calves and kill it and prepare it. And all of a sudden, in the identity of who was coming by, the bread and the water, which would have been the norm, became milk and bread and butter and meat. In other words, in this moment, Abraham recognized that it was God, and he said, God deserves way much more than status quo. He deserves way much more than the norm. See, what's happening here is not out of the norm. The patriarch normally would sit at the door of the tent. He would watch the travelers go by, and if he felt kind that day, he would send a servant down to say, hey, would you like some water? Would you like some bread? Would you like a place to sleep? Would you like to come rest for a little while? And so that's not abnormal as far as the overall thing, but this is Abraham doing it himself. And then when he realizes it's God and he brings him into the house, he realizes status quo won't work here. I've got to give him more than I've ever given anybody else before. I've got to go deeper in this thing than I've ever gone with anybody else. I cannot give God just a little bit and expect something awesome. I cannot give him just a little bit and expect him to keep doing what he's already been doing and taking care of me all these years and providing for me all these years and the way he's guarded me all these years and the way he's blessed. I left Ur of the Chaldees. It was me and some family. Now look at all the wealth I have. Now look at all that I've been given and blessed, and I know it's from God. So God, now that I know it's you, status quo will not do. It's got to be more. Not only that, but it says that he mentions washing his feet. The implication here in most cases, again, is that Abraham would have called one of his servants and said, hey, these are some weary travelers. Let's refresh them, get some water, wash their feet. But the implication here is that Abraham, at 99 years old, got down on his knees and washed the feet of God. This was not something he was going to let someone else do. This was not a privilege he was going to let someone else enjoy. This was not an opportunity that he was going to turn over to someone else. It's not one of those things where we come in on a Sunday morning and we sit here and we wait for a message to be preached, or we wait for the benediction to be over and we let the praise and worship team sing our song for us. No, Abraham said, this is God. And not only am I going to give him the best I can give him in my offerings, I'm going to give him the best service I can give him. And he gets down, a 99-year-old man gets down, and for those few minutes, holds the feet of God. And he washes the feet of God. And he refreshes God. Let me say that one more time. He refreshes God. We go through life thinking God has everything. He needs nothing. But can I tell you, there are some times that God just wants you to refresh him. There are times that God just, he wants your heart to go past the music. What was the old song about, I'm sorry for what I've made it. When it's all about you, it's not about me. It is all about you. So God, instead of me standing here in my wealth and my blessing and having a servant take care of you, no. It's all about you, and I want you, so I'm going to feed you. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to entertain and refresh God. So they bring all the food. He washes their feet. They bring all the food. And then the Bible says that Abram went and stood under the tree and just watched. That's the implication that we think of. He just watched. But it's so much deeper than that. Think of it. God is sitting outside the door of your house, eating your food. Your wife made the bread, your milk, your everything. He's there. You've washed his feet. And now you're sitting there and you're looking at God. And you're entertaining him, and you're thinking, this is awesome. But it goes far beyond that. Because the implication actually is, I tell this story a lot. When Dawn and I, on our 7th anniversary, I took her to this steakhouse called Roost Chris. And that was 28 years ago, and I almost have it paid off. But people that know me know I love to cut up and joke around. And man, we're sitting in this place. There's like this padding. I got 24 minutes, really? There's this padding on top of the table, and it's like soft, and there's cloth tablecloths, and our waiter is in a bow tie and a vest, and he's standing like this. He's got a towel draped over his arm, and I'm thinking, Dawn, this is not McDonald's. But I got to noticing this guy, when I would reach over, and this is very dangerous for me, that my Coke was in glass, okay? My Coke was in glass. And I got to noticing this. I'd take my Coke, I would take a sip, set it back down. Now this waiter is standing back here against the wall, and I would take my seat and set it down, and the waiter would immediately come over, top it off, and go back and stand just like this. I caught on to this. So I would reach up and get my glass and bring it to my mouth, and my waiter would start leaning in like this, and when I would see him lean in, I would just set it back down and wouldn't take a drink. I would do it over and over, and finally Dawn's like, would you stop? This is a picture of Abraham. He's under the tree. He's overwhelmed. God is sitting at my dinner table. I'm refreshing God. I'm entertaining God. I get to take care of God. And every time God would take a bite of bread or take a sip of milk, or maybe eat a little bit of the meat, I can see Abraham, would you like some more? Can I top you off? He not only was going to give him his best, but if required, he was going to give him everything. And not allow him to run out of anything. And so he's entertaining God. And this whole event goes on. Now notice this. He's entertaining God. He knows it's God, but he asks God for nothing. He doesn't ask God for one thing. He doesn't ask God about the missing baby that he promised. He doesn't ask God for some new blessing or some new promise. He doesn't ask it. It's all about just, I get to bless God. I get to entertain God. I get to serve God. And all this process, because it wasn't about him, it was about God. Suddenly everything changes. But Abraham's not the one that changed it. God changed it. In the middle of this amazing service and being taken care of, God looks at Abraham and says, where's your wife? For this culture, again, this is something that does not happen. You never ask about another man's wife in this culture. You don't do it. But God can. Because he's wanting them to know what I'm about to say is because the two of you are one. And he says, where's your wife? She's in the kitchen. She's in the tent. And unsolicited, unasked for, God says, when I come through here next year, there's going to be a baby in the house. We have to understand through this, our blessings from God do not come because we plead and beg for them constantly. Our blessings from God come when we just serve him. When it's all about serving him and just blessing him. And so God tells him, when I come through next year, there's going to be a baby in this house. You're going to have the child. And Sarah's in the tent, and she laughs. Now, it's not one of those laughs you hear. It's not one of those out loud laughs. But it was the laugh in the heart that's wondering, this promise is so good, can it really be true? And he even said, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh. Well, yes, you did. I heard you. I know the intents of you. I know everything about you. I know the thoughts. I know your emotions. I know everything about you. You laugh, but I'm telling you, when I come by here next year, you have a baby. So blessing, or the refreshing of God, the entertaining of God brings unsolicited blessings. But God's not through yet. He finishes eating. He's now blessed Abraham. There's probably some aspects of excitement and joy and all this in the house because we've got a fresh word from God, and what he promised 24 years ago is still going to happen. I have not been forsaken. I've not been forgotten, and God is in this place. And while he's in this place, he has confirmed his word that this is going to happen. And they get up, and they begin to walk, and Abraham, being the gentleman that he is and being the hospitable person that he is, walks them down the path back to the road. And in this moment, God turns to the two others that are with him and ask a really powerful question. He turns to the guys that are with him, with Abraham right there, and says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that he's going to raise his sons to know me. Seeing that he's going to raise his generations to know me. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Here's what happens when you entertain God. Not only do you walk in blessing, but you walk in revelation. God begins to speak things into your life about what he's wanting to do in you and through you, what he's going to do in your area, what he's going to do around you. And he begins to give revelation. I think the church needs revelation again. But the only way to get revelation is we've got to stop coming to the house of God hoping that somebody speaks something that I need to hear. We got to entertain God and let God tell us himself. And then whatever it is that he tells us, and to make sure we're not making it up, has to line up with what he's already said. God will not speak a word contrary to what he's already spoken. He will not go against it. He will not make up something new. Everything that he says will always be rooted and grounded in the word of God. You can find it. And so Abraham gets this revelation. But notice what God says. The son is not even here yet. He just promised by this time next year, you're going to have a child. But shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do, seeing that he's going to raise his children to know me? See, there's revelation here, but there's also challenge here. He's speaking about a son that's not yet there, but yet God says, I know him. He's got such a heart for me that even when this boy comes, he's still going to entertain me. He's still going to worship me. He's still going to walk with me. Why? Because when the child comes, it's going to be the aspect of, I'm showing you my glory. What I promised in times past and you held on to in faith, God is saying, because you held on to it in faith and you honored me, what you held on to in faith is now going to be held on to in reality. And see, we can't hang on to anything in reality until we embrace it first in faith. Without grabbing it in faith, we'll never embrace it in reality. Something just pinged in my spirit. Let me say that again. There's somebody here today, you're feeling forsaken. You haven't received yet, and you're wondering where it's at. And God says, step back into faith and entertain me again and watch it happen real quick. Step back into faith. You haven't received it yet, and because you haven't received it yet, you have pulled back your walk with me. You haven't received it yet. You've pulled back your worship from me. You haven't yet received it. You're not seeing the manifestation of what I've already spoken to you. And because of that, you're walking in doubt and you're pulling back in your relationship. And instead of you entertaining me and serving me and washing my feet, you're expecting others to do it on your behalf. But God says, press back in faith. Press back in faith. Get in my presence. Honor me. Entertain me. And refresh me. And that which I have spoken, I will do. But it's not because my hand is shortened. It's because your faith has waned. God's ready to move. So he speaks to him and he gets refreshing, or he gets blessing. Then he gets revelation. And when he gets revelation, a transition happens in Abram. See, Abram has lived in this area for some time now. What's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah and the five cities of the plain is not some brand new thing. They did not just wake up one morning and they were evil. It's been going on for some time. Abraham knows about it because his nephew Lot lives there. His family lives there. He knows about the wickedness. He knows what's happening in that area. Although he doesn't participate in it, he knows it's happening. But when God gives him revelation, he says, I've come down to see for myself if what I'm hearing is as bad as it really is. And if it is, I'm going to destroy the cities. This is where transition happens again for Abraham. We want to say in Bristol, oh God, I hope this doesn't offend anybody. Oh God, just burn down the casino. Just let it burn down. Let it fall apart. Don't let it do anything. God, just blow up the abortion clinic. Don't let anybody be in it. Blow it up. God, just wipe out the drugs. Just wipe out all the drug people. Just wipe them out. Wipe out the sin. Wipe out this. Wipe out that. Wipe out all these other things. Because we don't want to have to do anything. We want God to just clean it up. But through serving God and refreshing God and entertaining God, all of a sudden you receive blessing, and then you receive revelation. But notice his heart change. God, far be it for me to question you on anything. Far be it for me to say anything. But God, really, would you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Is that really, God, what if you find 50 people? Would you destroy the city for 50 people? And God says, Abraham, because you've asked, if I find 50 people, I won't destroy the cities. And he turns to walk, and he takes a couple steps. And God, wait. What if there's only 40? God, would you destroy the city if there's 40 righteous there? Abram, no. If I can find 40 people, 30. Come up at 30. Will you spare the city if you just find 30 people? 20. God, I will not speak anymore after this. What if there's only 10 righteous people? Would you spare the city for 10 righteous people? And God says, if I find 10 people, I will spare the city. Now, we know the story. God leaves, goes on. Abram goes back to his tent. The next morning, Abram gets up and he looks towards Sodom and he sees the smoke rising. We know the situation of the angels rescuing Lot and his family. But I want to go back to this. When we begin to entertain God, and we begin to do no more status quo worship, no more status quo living, no more status quo serving, we give it all to God. God says, I can bless that. And then when he begins to bless that, he says, I'm not going to bless it for no reason. I'm going to bless it, but here's your revelation. This is why I'm blessing it. And then when there's the revelation, there's the demand for intercession. There's the demand for communication with God. I do not consider myself to be a prophet. I do not consider myself an apostle or a prophet. But when I was sitting in that seat a few minutes ago, I had all my notes ready and everything ready, going to go a totally different direction. And the Word said, no, go do this again. I was like, Pastor Mike, the Word says you're Abraham. You've seen it already. You've seen the vision. God's unfolded it for you. You're waiting. There have probably been times you've wondered, did I mess up somewhere? Did I step out of the way? Did I do something? Now it can't happen. Why is it taking so long? I'm getting older. God, am I ever going to see? Am I ever going to see it? But God says, over the last little while, you've no longer been asking about it. You've just been worshiping in it. You've just been, there's been a refreshed hunger for God. And he's like, God, I just want to bless you. I was there in the emergency room just after you had fallen off your roof. You've been through those things. You've had the ups and the downs and all those things, but God says you're Abraham, and you've been entertaining me. And I've been blessed by your service. And God says it is coming. That thing that I promised you some time ago, and you've thought the world's a wreck, the rapture's going to take place, maybe I'm never going to see this thing. God says you're going to see it. It's going to come quick. You've waited 24 years. Abraham waited 24 years. But for the promise, it took 9 months. By this time next year. And somebody got up on this stage a few moments ago and mentioned the name Accelerate. And when they said that, something jumped in my spirit and said, that's it. That's it exactly. The waiting is turning into acceleration. The waiting is turning into acceleration. But not only is the waiting turning into acceleration, what he's about to do in and through you, Pastor Mike, and in this church, God says this church needs to be ready for a new revelation. Because when I do what I'm about to do in this house, it's not going to be for what you think it's going to be. It's going to be new revelation. When God showed up to Abraham, he didn't tell him something he had already done. He told him, he didn't tell him something he was going to do 100 years from now. He told him what he's about to do now. I'm on this trip. I'm passing by now. And here's revelation for the now. Pastor, God's given you revelation for the now. It's fresh. It's different. But to step into the fullness of that, we begin to intercede. God, if you're going to bless, and this is what you're going to do through it, prepare us for what you're about to do. God, we pray for our lost city. Now, I'm going to say something right here. I know we just kicked off this Capitol campaign and stuff. And I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's not. But I almost feel, Pastor, that the blessing God wants to give is sooner than that. Not that that's canceled out, but we're living in a messed up world. A world that's in bondage, a world that's scared to death, a world that's confused and twisted. And God is giving blessing. He's giving revelation. And now it's time for the church to begin to pray. God, now that we've got revelation of the blessing, what do you want us to do? We pray for our lost city. We pray for our lost family members. We pray, I say this respectfully, but I am tired over the last few weeks of how many of my friends have been diagnosed with cancer. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. And here's what I know. There is not one disease that my God cannot heal. There's not one bondage my God cannot get someone out of. There's not one confusion. There's not one deception. There's not one mistruth. There's not one false representation. There's not any of that that my God cannot get people out of. But he's waiting on an interceding church. He's waiting on an interceding people to begin to pray. Now, we know Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't spared completely and totally. But there were those that were. Some were saved. We may not win them all, but if we'll intercede and spend time with God and walk in His revelation, we will save some. We will save some.
And that wraps up this episode of the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. For more information about who we are, please visit us at cfbristol.com or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We hope that you have a blessed day. And as always, just like we find in Isaiah 60, verse 1, we hope you arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.